We've been going through this series through Mark and John as after Easter and really looking at different passages, whether it's right before the resurrection or right after the resurrection, as they're looking forward to the Spirit coming here as we celebrate Pentecost in just a few weeks. And we're going to be looking in John 13 today at the Last Supper. And just to know that there was a real heaviness that was in the room. And I don't know if that maybe that's a little bit here today at some level that God has given us. Jesus is there. We're going to start in verse 31. And he just went and washed the disciples' feet. And if you can imagine just going one by one and washing the feet of the disciples, that doesn't really mean a whole lot to us, right? That's kind of a weird thing. If we wanted to do that and just say, hey, we're going to wash each other's feet, that doesn't really mean as much to us. It would be strange. But his disciples knew exactly what that meant, that Jesus was lowering himself to a servant that would do the most menial of tasks. And if you can imagine having your faith in your God that's washing your feet. And some Peter was even kind of conflicted, like, hey, I should be the one washing you, not you washing me. And it says that as he gave bread to Judas, Judas left, and it says it became night. And whether it was really, it probably was about that time, but really it was more of a dark time. Right? Judas was going to do his betraying. They were a few hours away from being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's once Judas left, I feel like Jesus really got down to what he wanted to share with his faithful followers. And in verse 31, he says, when Judas was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. God will glorify the Son in himself, and we will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Many of us are familiar with that one. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Continuing in chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I will prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. And I love this chapter here, and as I was studying for this, I came across the Last Supper painting by Leonardo da Vinci, which many of us are familiar with. And it's amazing that over 500 years ago, he painted this painting, that he was inspired to paint this picture of what we're reading about today. And honestly, what kind of caught my attention was it was describing him, and they said he was a procrastinator. Do we have any procrastinators in here? Don't raise your hand. That's okay. That's what kind of draw me in. I'm like, okay, so he's the last minute guy. I get it. I'm there. And it turns out that it took him 4 years to paint this one painting. And he went in every single day and painted from like morning until dinner. Just struggling over this to get all the faces right. And you can imagine him just like painting it and then the next day going, no, that's not it. I got to start over. And what was really interesting is that 40 to 50 years after he was done, the painting was kind of gone. It just faded away. The paint didn't last. And so we have this famous painting, and in my mind, I'm thinking, man, it's just been around forever, and it's been in this vault somewhere, and they just keep it perfect. But no, they would have to come in and just keep redoing it and repainting it and getting re-inspired. So what we see is not really what he did, but it was inspired by this moment. And it kind of hit me, and the picture that I actually found here was that each person that redid it would kind of put their own inspiration into it. And that made me think of us, that we're reliving this story of Christ, but we're kind of redoing it by our faith, and we're re-inspired to see Jesus in a new way. And the one I had picked here, I didn't even realize it, but the person to the left of Jesus is Mary Magdalene, right? So somebody took Jesus appeared to her after his resurrection, so let's include her in the story. And she probably was there. There was probably a bigger group than just 12. But just that inspiration, I don't know who they took out. Maybe they took out Judas and put her in there. I mean, that was probably better. But I just, you know, was thinking that, man, 40 or 50 years, and then it just kind of fades. And that made me think of us, that we're living our lives. Maybe we have 40, 50, 60 years of faith, and then it just kind of fades. It's a short time. And then someone else has to come and carry that on. And I love this passage where Jesus said that now God is going to be glorified through me. He's put me here, and it's upon us. And he doesn't really say what he means there, if he's talking about the cross and how Jesus handled suffering. You know, God is glorified by how we handle difficulties and our heart, our struggle. Jesus on the cross, forgiving and praying for people, and kind of like what Victor was saying, like, how is this dad like praising God at his 12-year-old's funeral? When you know that it must have been the Lord just being glorified. And if you're in a time of difficulty, then just know that God is with you. That he's going to give you the strength to get through even the worst of times. But God was also glorified in the resurrection and in the miracle that happened that followed. And we get to see a lot of miracles because of our Father. We get to see things that maybe people don't even understand, and yet we can appreciate. Let's keep reading here. Where he says, he calls them children. I love that. He's like, you're my children. You're my kids. Jesus didn't have, obviously, physical kids, but he was the dad. He loved like a dad. He loved like a mom. These were his children. And if you can imagine, if you're lucky enough to have a last conversation with your kids before you go, I mean, you could just feel that was an emotional time to say, hey, this is it. I can't imagine, you know, having that moment saying goodbye to your kids. It says, you'll look for me, but I told the Jews and I'm telling you that you can't come yet. You can't be where I am. And it's so interesting that the Jews were kind of the bad guys of the story. When you read the book of John, I mean, the Jews were always persecuting Jesus and stirring up people and asking them questions. And yet here he's like, no, you're not going to get to see me either. It's not whether you're one of my followers or one of my detractors that it's not time for that. And that made me wonder if Jesus was trying to protect them. Maybe they all go, if they all huddled up at the cross, maybe the Romans would be like, hey, here's all his followers, let's arrest them too. I don't know. I know that Jesus still had a plan for them. Right? That he knew where they were going to go, and he knew the Spirit was going to come, and he knew they were going to be taken all to the ends of the earth. And not only was he going to glorify God, but they were going to glorify him too. You know, God knows your future, right? He knows the good that he's going to put you in. He knows the glory that is going to come to him through us. And that's pretty awesome to think about. That he knows you, that you're his son or his daughter. That he is going to, he came back to say that he was always going to be with us. You know, many of us have grown up on this passage. This is like a real famous, if you're visiting, this is a real main passage for our churches around the world, that Jesus came to teach them how to love and teach us how to love, and not just love as we want to love, but love as he loved. To humble ourselves and wash one another's feet, so to speak. That everyone will know that you're his followers. I love it. It's not very complicated. Just love like Christ. I mean, it's hard to do. But loving like Christ, we can make Christianity so complicated. And what do I have to do? And how do I do it? And do I have to have a committee meeting for this or that? And it's just like, no, just love the person that's in front of you. You know, sometimes we miss. God's like, hey, who have I put in your life? That's the person I want you to love. You know, your family, your people around you. You know, it's been so moving. I know that Rhonda Samaripa has a little Bible study at her middle school in La Quinta. And I love going to this because it's just so simple. It's not complicated. I don't have to have a meeting. I don't have to have an agenda. I just show up and talk. I don't even put anything together, really. I just like, okay, we're going to talk about this. But it's just about loving these kids. You know, and one of the, I'm trying to coach them. I'm trying to give them advice. I'm trying to help them with their life direction. And now that I've been going a few times, like, obviously I bring pizza too, so don't forget that. Right? So I'm like the most popular guy in school walking through a pizza, and it's just like the Pied Piper, you know, over to the room. And so thank you. You guys help. The church brings pizza, right? So we bring pizza, and it's kind of like going back in time when my son was that age. You know, we moved here, he was about 13, and he kind of got in with a real rough crowd. For some reason, like, that was the crowd that kind of just pulled him in and just said, hey, come be a part of us. And you know, when you're a parent and you meet your kids' friends and you're like, not feeling too good about this. But the more we would try to, like, Coach Connor to be like, oh, don't hang out with those people, the more he kind of like doubled down, like, hey, these are my friends, Dad. So I was like, okay, that's not working. And so we just got to know these guys, and I, you know, anyway, long story short, you know, a few years later, one of Connor's buddies got arrested for bringing a gun to school, selling drugs at school. You know, and we were still friends because I knew him when he was in middle school. And we, even afterwards, we'd go out and get coffee or get a sandwich and just kind of talk. And it was just like, wow, man, we were right there. You know, we loved him, loved up on him. And And so now I'm kind of back in the same situation, and there's this kid that gets in fights all the time, and I'm just thinking of my Connor's buddy, and I'm like, this is him, and I'm wondering, like, what is he going to be doing in 5 years? You know, is he going to be arrested? Is he going to be alive? We had a friend of somebody that came out to our outdoor service like 3 years ago who's in jail for 8 years for shooting a gun and being in a gang. And I'm just like, this is these guys, you know. And so what's my point? It's just loving the people that God puts in your life, right? Whatever that is, whether they come to church, whether they don't come to church. It doesn't say if they come to church, love them. He just says, love the people that God puts in your life. And him and his friend, you know, we're praying for them. They might want to come to a teen camp with the LA church. And, you know, I'm just like, who knows what God's going to do? All we're trying to do is just love whoever God puts in our lives. You know, let's keep it simple. Amen, church. Then Simon, he's not really following all that Jesus is saying here. And he's like, hey, where are you going? And I want to follow you now. And Jesus is like, no, you're not going to follow me now, but you'll follow me later. Don't worry, you're going to get there. You know, you're going to lay down your life for me. No, that's not going to happen. But if you think about it, he just denied Jesus for about 2 days, right? We kind of think of Peter, he's the one that betrayed Jesus, and oh man, that was he just betrayed Jesus for a long week, for a weekend. But Jesus was the one that was pursuing him at the end of that time. He's like, he told the disciples and Peter that he made a beeline for Peter to just say, hey, I got you. Don't beat yourself up too bad. You're going to get there. You're going to lay down your life for me someday. Not yet, though. And I love that. Because God's always coming after us. You know, we're going to have bad weekends, right? We're going to have bad weeks. We might even have a bad year. But he's still coming after us. He's still there with us. Just don't turn away. You know, keep coming back. Keep humbling ourselves. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever is holding us back, just keep coming back to Jesus. See, Peter's low point in his life came after he already gave up everything for Jesus. This wasn't like, oh, before I knew Jesus, I was horrible. He's like, no, but after I knew Jesus, I denied him to his face. Some of our low points came before we knew Christ, and some of them are probably going to come even afterwards. You know, we don't have to be super Christians. We just have to be super faithful. Not super Christians, but keep coming back to Jesus. Whatever that rooster is for you that reminds you of your weakness, just keep coming back to Jesus. Amen. As we take our communion, I love this, how Jesus continues. And if you can picture this heavy setting, I don't know that anyone in the room really kind of followed all of this. But he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. They could relate to that. My Father's house has many rooms. And so he's painting in the middle of this intense meal. Jesus is painting this picture of this wedding that he's going to prepare. And we might not follow it exactly, but that is the exact language that he's using, that, hey, once the couple would get engaged, then the groom would go and build this room, house, and then they would come back, and then they would have the wedding, and they would be together. And so it's really the same analogy that even in that time, Jesus is painting this love story, if you will, that I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back to you. The Spirit's going to come to you. And then we're all going to be together. And he says that, he even says that if that were not so, why would I have told you? Right? I told you that's what's going to happen. How many times do I have to say it's going to happen when I say it's going to happen? And then I love the way it's that trust. You might not see it, but it's going to happen. And I love what he says at the end. He says, you know the way to the place I'm going. You know, there's that relationship again, that confidence. Like, you know the way. Remember, I'm the way. He just goes and says it a couple verses later. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's like, you know me. You know we're together on this. And I love that connection that he wants all of us to have. That, hey, I'm going ahead of you. I'm preparing a place for you. You know me. You know I'm going to be there for you. And as weak as we are, we tend to doubt. We tend to question. Do I really know him? I mean, do I really, 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 really know him? He's like, yeah, you know me. Yeah, you're going to get to know me better, but you know me enough. You can trust me with yourself. Even that song that we sang in the beginning, I lay it all down. You can trust me with everything. You can trust Jesus with everything in your life. Whatever you want to hold on to, you don't need to. He's faithful. Amen? So let's pray and we'll take our communion and pray that the Lord speaks to you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the way you've moved our spirits and moved our hearts and our minds. God, help us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. Help us to trust you that you will be glorified even in the difficult times. God, that we can trust you, that we can glorify you with those miracle times. God, thank you that we have Jesus with us. Thank you that he is the way and the truth and the life, and that we can put our full hope and trust in him. Thank you that he showed us what it means to trust you. As his body and blood were broken and shed, God, as we remember him, that we can do the same and trust you with everything. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.